Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and this is my little isolation podcast, you could call it. And basically, I'm talking to myself. I don't know if you all do that. I certainly do. I don't know if everyone's the same. I've been eating a lot more in lockdown. You think, oh, I'm a bit bored. I've got to go and see what's in the fridge, you know. What I've been doing is I've been batch cooking large quantities of curry. The last 4 days, I've eaten mostly bean curry. And to be fair, I have to admit, that has an effect. Put it this way. Anybody coming within 2 metres of me, the last thing they're going to be worrying about is the COVID virus. Okay? one of the advantages of lockdown actually is that you can get away with developing what I can only describe as the lockdown gut. I've been putting on a bit of weight because I'm in lockdown. It's not true I'm putting on a bit of weight because I'm in lockdown. I'm putting on a bit of weight because of all the pies and beer. That's the truth, okay? But I've got the perfect excuse. Oh, yeah. I couldn't get out much on the hill, so, you know, I've put on this little bit of a gut. I don't know what you were up to before the Boris announced the lockdown, but I could see it coming. I could see they weren't going to let you go out. So I thought, well, I could maybe get in one last bothy before they say you can't go anywhere. And I was packing, getting ready, and I thought, nah, I better not. Because basically I realised I was panic bothying. Can't really do that. So let's get on to the meat of this podcast, the substance of it, eh? See, I'm thinking about food again. I want to talk today about a much benign character, in my opinion, Aleister Crowley. Now, everybody thinks they know all about Crowley because he was mad and he was a cultist and he was a Satanist and all that sort of stuff. I don't think he was mad. I think he's much maligned. He certainly wasn't a Satanist. He did a lot of other things. Took a lot of drugs and did a lot of dancing about naked. He's the sort of bloke, basically, you'd meet in a bothy. Let's put it that way. Well, he wouldn't be out of place in Bob Scott's, you know what I mean? But he was, in my opinion, one of the foremost mountaineers of his time. He was born in 1875 and he explored the Himalayas in the very beginning part of the 20th century. Now, a great book on Aleister Crowley is called Do What Thou Wilt by Lawrence Sutton. So I'm going to read an excerpt about Crowley's adventures on K2, which I think illustrate a little bit about the man and the kind of hardships that he put up with to explore those high mountains. So this is an excerpt from Do What Thou Wilt by Lawrence Sutton. From this point, the physical conditions became more challenging. Several days of difficult marches over the Ballotoro Glacier led to the establishment of numerically designated base camps. On June 16th, Crowley, leading an advance group of Balti porters, created Camp 8, 16,500 feet, within view of K2. He moved on to establish Camp 9, 17,300 feet, directly beneath the south face of K2, and then ascended to Camp 10, 18,700 feet, but only after carefully training the Balti porters in the use of climbing ropes and scraped out ice steps. At this point, Crowley decided that the final ascent could be made along what is now called the Abruzzi Ridge. Crowley had paid a price for progressing so far, as would all members of the expedition. An extreme alteration of temperatures between night and day, and even between sun and shade, made it possible, as one marched along in one's winter dress and gear, to burn from extreme high-altitude sun on one side of one's face and body, and to suffer from extreme cold on the other. On June 29th, due to prolonged exposure to the glaring whiteness, Crowley went snowblind, a temporary but terribly painful condition. Red-hot sand at the back of one's eyes, Crowley described it. Crowley's choice of Camp 10 site was not seconded by his team members upon their arrival. A snowstorm that had endured for 5 days made the camp 10 exposure seem ill-advised, but there was a further challenge to Crowley's judgment, which he resented still more. Fannell and Wesley had gone on to establish Camp 11, roughly 20,000 feet, and argued that an ascent up the northeast ridge of K2 from that camp would be preferable to Crowley's proposed route from Camp 10. By vote on July 7th, Crowley was overruled, and it's impossible in retrospect to properly judge the respective merits of the two routes. An eminent mountaineer, in his generally admiring account of Eckenstein Crowley's expeditions, felt that Crowley had fallen victim to a mistaken sense of scale in the face of the Himalayan vastness by imagining that a mere 2 days would suffice for K2 ascent from Camp 10. But Crowley's firm belief that the alternate route was folly, coupled with the terrible weather, led to his conviction, as July wore on, that, in his words, the expedition had failed in its main objectives, and I was not in the least interested in killing myself gradually by against my judgment. The worn nerves of the team members, each of whom faced a similar dawning sense of failure, began to show. The sheer physical strain made all this but inevitable. They suffered from cold, lack of exercise due to cramped tent life during the repeated snowstorms, a limited diet, and the practical difficulties of maintaining a cooking fire or even smoking pipes at such high altitude. Crowley, along with the others, suffered from severe indigestion and weight loss, as well as bouts of malaria and fever. At one point, Crowley, while feverish, came for some reason to feel threatened by Knowles and pulled his revolver on him. Knowles, who was well at the time, forcibly disarmed Crowley. This inglorious episode, to which Knowles subsequently attested, indeed he displayed the captured revolver at his home to the end of his life, does not appear in Crowley's confessions, in which the breakdowns of other team members are carefully accounted. Well, there you are. So that, I think that little excerpt gives you some idea of the kind of hardship that they faced on those early expeditions. I can't help feeling sorry for the bloke who was in the tent with him when he pulled his gun, you know. I mean, you're freezing to death in a tent halfway up a mountain and the other bloke tries to shoot you, if like, things weren't bad enough. But anyway, I'm really fascinated by Crowley's life. And if you want to know more, you'd like to hear more like that. I've got 3 more podcasts, which I recorded quite some time ago now. On his career, well, actually on his climbing career. So if you're interested in hearing those, I'll put links to those on my WordPress page where you can hear those as well. But I hope you've enjoyed my little podcast, and I hope you'll stay well. Keep yourself safe. I'm John Burns. I'll have another wee chat with you, because I've got nobody else to talk to be quite honest. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.